It is January 8th, 2009, and for some reason, I have no idea. I'm going to jinx myself, but I've been writing 2009 on my checks, so that's really weird. It usually takes me till March to do that. But this is Cheryl Oakes. I'm in Wells, Maine, and I'm going to drop down to a little bit south to get Bob in here. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you, before I fall out again. This is Bob down in South Berwick, and I'll shoot on up to Kennebunk.
Hi, this is Alice Barr, and I'm in Kennebunkport, and I'm going to shoot up to... Where? Where am I shooting up to?
You are shooting west.
Northwest.
Northwest, actually. And we're both in on the same mic, so
this
is Jeff. We're in J-Maine, but I teach...
Hey.
Yeah.
We're in the 04262. You represent when you're in this house.
That's right, represent.
We're in North J.
I'm sorry. We're technically in North J. Right, very big distinction there.
It's very important.
But I teach at Mount Valley High School in Rumford, and then I'll throw it exactly 18 inches to my right.
And we actually measured that. This is Dan Ryder, and I teach high school English over in fabulous Mount Blue High School in Farmington, Maine.
Woohoo!
And so this is the main show.
Yes.
Beyond Tootin' it is.
Okay, I've boosted all the sound levels that I can. But as Alice, has been saying tonight, every time we do something, our sound levels drop off for some reason. I don't know. So I'm going to keep my sound card open so I can watch that.
I'm getting a complex.
It sounds good on this end.
Okay,
good. Good.
And Jeff and Dan, you sound the best.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Oh, no, please.
Borrow the cool equipment always helps, you know.
And just before we go on, I just want to double check, is somebody archiving?
I just started, yes. If somebody else would, that would probably be a good thing when the gremlins are
good.
Out tonight.
Okay.
So, you guys are Wicked Decent Learning.
Yes, we are.
Tell us about it.
Well,
intro yourselves.
Well, Dan and I...
tell them what it is.
Wicked Decent Learning.
I saw Jeff, kind of adjust himself for long story mode, and I think he's looking for a cursory overview.
Yes, I think, so I shouldn't go back, and I was born, I shouldn't start there.
No, funny story.
Wicked Decent Learning is a weekly education podcast that Dan and I came up with and we host together, and we include segments dealing with discussion of a certain topic every week, usually. We have a book review or a book talk. We do some tech reviews of usually online tools that teachers could use in their classroom. We sometimes do a media integration, so that might be like some music or a movie or a television show. And then we have a DigiC segment when there's news worth that we feel is worth sharing with people.
Yeah, that we deem worth sharing.
That's
often there's a lot of news, but rarely in anything that we feel like talking about.
Right.
And then we have a half hour topic discussion. I think you maybe already mentioned
that.
Yeah,
half hour, 45 minutes, or in the case of our last episode, the entire episode.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't heard Wicked Decent Learning, maybe you want to skip episode 51 for your first
52,
introduction.
52.
Or is it 52?
Yeah, 52.
Right. No, 51 was good.
Yeah.
51
yeah.
was good. Now, 52 wasn't bad.
No, it was just...
It was more like...
Out of the mainstream.
Decent yammering.
Right.
Much more than learning.
And we should probably point out that Jeff was part of our original seed group. That's how we know Jeff.
Yes, way back in the day when we had a wonderful, supportive teacher-to-teacher network. Not that we don't now, but it's more sort of homegrown now, I think.
And I became part of that later
on. Yes, you joined in. I think in the round two.
I think I got the adopter grant in round two.
Right.
I became a TLL pretty much just in time to watch everything start to collapse. But not so late into it that I didn't get to go to Sunday River a couple of times.
That's
so that
right.
Nice.
Some good sessions up there. So
definitely.
When you have a collaborative group like we had in Maine, the SEED group, Spreading Educator to Educator Development, and you have a DEN group that is, you know, worldwide, Pennsylvania has, I may need some help on that. Pennsylvania has some
stone.
Keystone.
It's just that, and now we have Twitter and we have, you know, personal learning networks. It seems like whenever you have some kind of collaborative hangout where the tech junkies can gather, you know, you give each other support and power. And so I think that it's really interesting, Dan and Jeff, that, you know, you can talk about that foundation that has helped to get us where we all are.
And I know for me, that happened. I got involved along with Mike Nillette, who was my teaching partner at the time, in doing a seed developer grant at the time. Uh-huh. And it was really interesting because I was like a second year teacher or third year teacher at the time, I'm trying to remember. And he said, "Well, why don't we apply for this grant?" And I said, "Well, sure, okay." I was very much like, all right, I'm along for the ride.
I think you were a second year teacher.
I think I was second year. Yeah. And I was doing a new course and Mike was acting as my mentor and I had no idea what I was in for in a good way. Because I think I can probably honestly say I have not had that kind of close-knit professional development, meaningful professional development of that caliber, you know. And what's interesting, I remember them doing some kind of evaluation and asking participants about leadership and how they saw leadership and their role in leadership in their schools. And very few people responded that they wanted to become an administrator of any kind, but they were willing to be a leader in this way that they could help out in their building and in other districts in how to use technology to get higher quality teaching and learning.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool. No, I got hooked into it because of Jeff, which is cool. Because for people who don't know, Jeff and I have been buddies since how many hundreds of years ago now?
Yes, it was after the second Ice Age, I think.
Yeah, but we've been roommates. We were college roommates, and then for the symbiotic relationship where if we are away from each other for more than 4 days at a given time, then we actually start to lose body mass.
Yeah, we break out in hives. There's some weird, strange phenomenon.
Yeah, there. It's kind of sick. Yeah. but as a result of his involvement there, like he started like saying, "Hey, you should go to these events and stuff." And then he really pushed me to apply for that adapter grant. And then that seed was just huge for me professionally. Making me feel completely empowered and the work that we've did over in Western Maine with the Western Maine Partnership and all the affiliated groups and stuff and working with Ann Pike and Jan Van Dusen and everything. It just, wow, for a young educator. I mean, I was in my third and fourth years when I got involved, really, you know, and to go somewhere and be looked at as a peer and not as the new kid was pretty sweet. So,
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say in the chat, Janet Smith is asking if the Wicked Decent Guys can pronounce Aya for them. It is a main thing. I think it's it's particularly,
particularly
low. There's a couple different ways.
There's different ways of pronouncing the A. And you don't necessarily pronounce the A.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's only if you're one of them Tom Bosleys on the emergency rope.
Right, right. That's a little contrived.
If you
contrived,
grew up in Ellsworth like me, it's just
Yeah. Especially if you say it in rapid succession like that. But you can also do that. I think it defines what class level you are, actually. So you'd be very careful how you use it. You know.
Well, wait a minute, because my husband and his family are in the Farmington area, and I don't know if it's going to come across or not, but they always go,
that's it.
Oh, the inhaling.
That's it. That's the Western Maine.
Could you do that again? I've never heard that.
You're talking to somebody, and you just go,
yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Say it while inhaling.
So. I thought we were having sound trouble again.
So, there's the proper pronunciation for you. That among other main things, you know. But hey, don't do the entire show in the main accent.
No, we only do the digits.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless we've had a couple of beverages, and
right.
Then sometimes it comes out a little thicker.
Yeah,
sure.
And Dan says it's like yeah.
Tim, should we explain?
Got a place from the county. Oh,
the county.
Wow! Congratulations, Tim.
Explain to people what the heck we're talking about.
Right. I wonder if we should go back and explain adapter developer TLL. Seed or I know we've talked a little bit about it in the past, but I don't know if we ever really explained those different grant roles. You guys want to do that since you brought it up? You opened that can of worms.
Well, I'll explain some of it and you can explain part of it if you want.
Yeah.
You pick. Basically, Maine got to be part of a teacher. I can't remember what the federal grant money that funded it was called. Impact grant, I think it was called. But anyway, they got a block of funds that could be used for a teacher to teacher network. SEED stood for Spreading Educator to Educator Developments. And the idea was to have a teacher trainer model where instead of bringing some expert into all of these districts and districts having to pay or grants going to this expert, that you grow. And that's why there are all these bad seed jokes, because they're growing and, you know, the harvest, and we just call it different seasons. But anyway, there's a lot of puns there. But the idea was that you were creating, spreading developments between educators. So, for example, a developer would be someone who had an original unit that would involve technology that would help leverage more high-quality teaching and learning to meet Maine state standards was part of it as well. And so that developer would apply for a grant, and then SEED would choose some high-quality units to have available online. And then there was a second group of people. If you got awarded as a developer, there was, I think, a $1,000 grant to individual educators. And then if you were part of a team, you split that amount of money. But basically, that allowed for your unit to be out there as sort of a model for other people to adopt or adapt. There was adapters and adopters. I don't recall the specific difference between the two, but do you want to talk about what an adapter was or an adopter was?
Nathan? I can't remember the difference, my friend.
But can you talk about
now I'm seeing you're thinking. I said earlier that I was an adopter.
I think you were an adapter.
No, I wasn't either. No? I was a developer, but I was on cycle two.
Oh, okay.
So for those of you who watch America's Next Top Model, you realize how important that is, because the quality goes up on the second
yeah,
season.
They just took anything the first time around. I was lucky to
so
get in.
So much
Andy.
Better. Oh, man. Oh, the quality just... they learned how to walk finally. But I worked with adapters and adopters. I don't remember the difference either. Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago.
But you basically took a unit, a developed unit, and adopted it for your own classroom.
You could get
a grant for that.
Right, you could get a grant for that, and you basically took an idea and you transmogrified it into something that works for your classroom, And one of the goals was for you to work with the person you were developing from.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I know that I worked with, as a developer, I remember working with somebody down in Southern Maine, because I did a unit related to television. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody down in Southern Maine who wanted something to do, wanted to adopt that. And I don't remember if he ever got the award granted or not, but I know that there was work being done. But that was like one of the things that you had to agree to do, which seems like contractual and an obligation, and like, oh, this could be a pain, but it's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And this and plus this was in the days before broadband was the regular fixture. I mean, we're talking a relatively early days of everybody having the internet in their house, like on dial-up.
And and things like maybe a WebQuest would be your high-end.
Oh, yeah. I was like, whoa, he did a WebQuest.
Wow, that's important. You know, there would be things with – I remember people doing things with
stuff. I remember going and teaching PowerPoint workshops and having people's minds blown.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how did you make it do the checker pattern?
Right.
That's crazy.
And then you're talking about the next level they developed, or next way to get involved, which was TLL, which was Technology Learning Leaders.
Right.
Which were people who agreed to basically work for an hourly rate to go out to other districts to train districts for technology needs that they identified. So it wasn't that, you know, Dan had the PowerPoint show and went on the road with it. It was, you know, Jay High School is looking for someone to teach web design. And is it possible that Seed could, at no cost to Jay High School, could bring in someone to do that work that was a teacher who actually probably had done that work themselves and had lots of, you know, experiences with doing it with kids and trying to focus again on, so how does this help students learn, you know, and how does this improve your teaching? So,
which was the coolest part from my point of view, because the focus wasn't on technology, it was on learning.
Right.
I'm getting a little misty-eyed.
Yeah.
Well, it was probably one of the most workable programs I've ever been involved with in terms of support and feeling supported and being able to grow professionally.
Yeah, and you know, I think it created a real kind of bond and network. I still see people from around this area, especially, that were involved in the Seed Project in Western Maine, that, you know, it's like you never left the table with them. You know, you just sit down and you're right back to where you were before, and you can talk about things. And I know I could throw a line out to those people if I had a question. And you know, it was great because it built a relationship among people despite all the technology involved. You know, there was a close-knit relationship among people. And you knew who you could reach out to if you needed, gosh, you know, I don't know anything about Excel, but, you know, my math department really wants to know how they could use Excel in their classroom. I know who I can contact. So it was kind of the pre-Twitter,
Just was thinking PLN. That.
Well, yeah. That's a question I'm thinking. You know, I mean, do we need a Seed now, or, you know, or do we have the tools where all this can happen? You know, like it could in back in, this is what, the very early, late 90s, right? Or
this would have been
late 90s, early 2000s.
Would there even be a need for Seed today?
I think that's a good question, but I think that one of the things that was helpful is that, not that it's about the money, but when you ask teachers who are doing so much to take on something else to create, you know, a lot of teachers in my school, I don't think, have some kind of professional learning network that they reach out to. I don't think they have a real online presence. You know, they might have a professional learning network in that they've been to conferences and they know a guy who knows a guy who they could reach out to. But I think asking teachers to go that extra step, sometimes they see it as an extra step. They don't really see it as a way that it's going to benefit them right off the bat. And so, right. Even though there was this kind of cash reward there, it wasn't really so much about that, but it was a way to say, well, we're kind of honoring the work that you do, and it was a nice way to be recognized, I think. So I would definitely not be in a position to say that I don't want it to come back, but, you know, not that I see that happening anytime soon. But I think you're right. A lot of the tools that we have today, you really couldn't build from scratch, sort of, these kind of networks, so...
Yeah,
and I go ahead.
Go, Bob.
Well, you're right. I mean, it did treat teachers as professionals in ways that they weren't used to. And, you know, like at every event, they were all just the giveaways alone. And I was just thinking, you know, what were those? You know, people used to drool over disc on keys. I mean, that was what was the highlight, you know.
But I'm looking at the 8 gig disc on key that my mother-in-law bought 3 of for my wife and our daughter, and I know she didn't spend more than $8 on this thing because I know my mother-in-law. And I'm like, 8 gigs?
Yeah.
Holy crap!
And people definitely supported. What's that?
We used to get 16K and think that was cool.
Oh yeah. Well, this is a what? It's a disc on a key.
Oh, I still have the first one I got from Seed. It's right here. 8 megs.
Don't forget the brains.
8 megs, disc on key. I remember being so excited the day I got this. I came home and like shook it like around the house. Dance.
It was, and that was probably $70 or $80. Yeah. At least.
It's pretty pricey at the time.
Oh, probably, yeah.
But it was kind of nice. We are going to honor you for the time you're putting in. Yeah. I remember doing things as a TLL where Ann Pike, who was our Western Maine regional coordinator, she would get us together and she'd say, "So what do we need?" And I'd say, "Well, what do you mean? Well, what is the districts need, and what is it you guys need to be able to grow yourselves in order to feel like you're keeping ahead of the curve?" And we were throwing things out there like, "Oh, this will never." And I think I said something like, "You know, what about text to speech to text?
Yeah, voice recognition software.
And I figured, no way are we going to get into this." She actually went out and said, well, she didn't go out. She said, pick one and we'll get it and we can try it out and see how it can help us with our work.
Yeah.
And so I got to pilot some voice recognition software.
It was
stuff.
Terrible.
It wasn't great. Yeah. Sadly, after we spent the money, I said, you know, I can't see anybody really using this, but, I felt really awful, but it was that kind of, you know, you tell us what you need to develop as a leader, as a learner, you know, and what you think is going to be helpful to others. And there was a real focus on feedback from teachers in how we went forward with the next step with the project. So,
Dan, we have a comment from Lauren Chuck, who's asking now or saying all the tools can adapt, but they so quickly descend.
Yeah. Well, I think we can see that too, especially like the chat's been kind of about PowerPoint a little bit, that and WebQuests, and it's so easy for us to devolve things and to take the easy route maybe, and rather than evolve their purposefulness, we tend to keep trying to distill and water. I don't want to say water down. I almost feel like that's not quite the right term for it, but we so much want everyone to use it that we keep getting to the lowest common denominator, right? And then you get the people who aren't quite comfortable using the technology finally getting to a point where they're comfortable, but their comfort level like ends there because they think that that's all they have to do.
Right.
Or those of us who've been using it start falling back and we don't evolve ourselves. We don't really push ourselves to use technology. Okay. And what I thought was cool about, to bring it back into Seed, and the work done there is I felt like every time I went to an event, somebody was evolving a tool. Someone was evolving the use of the internet. Someone was evolving the use of chat. Someone was evolving the use of digital photography. Someone was evolving the use of inspiration is still – we just finally got that in our machines at school. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I saw that at a Seed event and was like, oh, man. Mm. And now the push is to get people to use it beyond just a simple graphic organizer designer, you know, which is something that you can actually do with Word if you're, you know, clever. So what makes inspiration? Oh, well, we could talk for days about that, but, it's getting people to go into those places, you know, is a challenge.
And, you know, to talk about like using a tool, I actually, in a strange way, went sort of back to PowerPoint. I don't know if I dare say that, but I went back to PowerPoint this week in trying to show my video production class ways that you could create sort of an interactive choose your own adventure video game using PowerPoint in a non-linear fashion.
That's it, yes.
And so they weren't quite getting what I was talking about, and then I tried to show them a sample one online. There was a game online, and it's not an education game really, but it was put out by the BBC called cdx-thegame.com. And it's, you're this guy, it's actually put out by, well, it's BBC, but I think it's supposed to be educational. It's a little, I haven't played much of it because I'm not very good at it, to be honest, but you're a guy in a wheelchair who's just been through some motorcycle accident, and you were part of a film crew that was making a documentary about Julius Caesar, and you have some prop, some dagger that's very, very valuable that you're supposed to return, but because you're dealing with some kind of memory problem, you can't figure out where it is or what it's at, but people are calling you. You have all these things you can interact with, like an answering machine, a radio, a computer, a bookshelf, and you have to figure out why you're there and what you're supposed to do. And I was just showing kids in a very, that's a really glossy high-end one, but I said, in a pretty basic way, you can do this with PowerPoint. You can make, you know, images with hotspots that you can click that take you to different places. So right now my class is working on, hopefully going to finish before the end of the semester, but I'm not sure if we're going to run out of time. I hope not. But to come up with these interactive games using just PowerPoint as the structure to build it off of, but having this multimedia component. So I'm excited to hopefully see something from them that I can brag about.
Nice.
Yeah, that's.
If you want to hear if you want to hear some really cool stuff about PowerPoint, or see some stuff, do a little research into what David Byrne of the Talking Heads.
Oh yes, that is amazing.
Awesome. With PowerPoint,
you know what I'm talking about, right? Oh
yes,
man,
it's amazing, amazing.
So, and I'm not a huge Talking Heads fan, but David Byrne is like one of my gods now, just from that stuff that he did.
Yep. Unbelievable stuff. And it's just davidbyrne.com, I think.
Yeah, I think it is as well. And he's got a great new record out too, by the way, with Brian Eno. Just a plug for no reason. He didn't pay for that at all. I've just become a lover of music blogs in the past 3 weeks.
Oh no.
And I just can't I can't get enough of all the goodness. And I keep bumping into their stuff.
Durf is just saying she teaches her kids how to go around the filters. All right, Durf, more power.
Yeah. Revolution. Taking it to the streets.
There is no filter. Oh, we need shirts that say that now.
It's like the Matrix. It doesn't really exist.
Right.
If you think it exists in your school, you know, talk to a kid.
There is no filter, only Zoom.
Well, you guys will get a kick out of this. I've pasted our outline into the EdTech Talk host and into the Seedlings chat, and finally just put it in our chat. So... Oh, goodness.
I don't see it in either of those. So.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I think this is our chat. Is this where you said you lost connection?
No.
Yeah, that's the one I thought.
I'm not in
that chat. I still don't have the right chat then.
Oh, I don't either then.
I don't think I do either, actually.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
We'll just bypass it.
On Wicked Decent Learning, we like to do something called winging it. So
what you talk about, every show is deliberately designed thought out with painstaking detail of at least a 15-minute phone conversation 10 minutes before you come over.
That's right. And it's what's really funny to me is that some of the feedback we get on the show is that I really like your podcast, it's really well organized.
Yeah,
which I don't understand at all.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
The emperors wear no clothes.
Well, I think that, I mean, part of it is oftentimes we, you know, set up our schedule so far in advance that we think of questions ahead of time. And then it's kind of like that security blanket. If there's a really long pause, one of us can scramble and go, Oh, yeah. We were going to ask the Wicked Decent Learning guys, how many people in your district listen to your podcast, you know?
Yeah, I want to know that. Inquiring minds want to know that.
I wish I knew as well. I know in my district, I know that I think there's a husband and wife social studies teacher that I believe listen. And I think
it's my pretty bad when we're counting on one hand.
I really think so. I think my I know my principal listens. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I think maybe there have been a couple of people who've told me they've listened, but I'm not really sure that they have, or I've mentioned it to them and they say, oh yeah, I'll have to do that sometime. And so, you know, they're busy people. I know
that.
They get to hear me all day. So I'm sure they don't want to hear an hour and a half of me every week as well. But
however, how many people outside your local area, tap into Wicked Decent Learning?
Oh, right. About 8,000.
Yeah.
I think, was that, didn't we break the 8,000 barrier last week?
No. we have, the hard part has been, we've had some major, we just figured out the, what that whole thing about, like, you get what you pay for means. because we started out last year on mypodcast.com for free hosting for podcasting. And that worked out really well for most of the year. And then, they just suddenly stopped responding in any kind of way. And I realized that I had probably been able to do really well on there for much longer than many of the other users based on their forums. I looked, and there were people months before that were having the same error upload messages that I was. So we decided we needed to move it to somewhere else. So we moved like November, I think. End of October, early November, to Podango.com, and we were so excited. We said, no more problems. Podango has been very in touch with us. They've been emailing us personally and making sure that we're all set up to move things over.
Long story short,
Podango tanked before Christmas. We got an email probably December 22nd from Podango saying, unfortunately, the economy has hit us. We will close up shop, including access to all of your stuff on the
31st. Long story short,
we are now with Blueberry.com, Blubrry, quick plug. And they took in Podango listeners and spent a lot of time migrating files over.
They held open the doors and screamed sanctuary.
Yeah, it was really nice. So we have 30 days with them all of the Podango people had 30 days with them to find a new host, but we're going to stay with Blueberry. They've been very kind to us, so.
And that's very appropriate that they're Blueberry.
Yeah,
I thought so,
too. Jeff said. He thought so as well. He's very excited about that. He got all, like, with the arms and the excitement. And I'm thrilled. And they have been great to us and been very responsive and very personalized in their approach. And to give Podango credit, they were, too, during that mess. But they just, yay for the economy. So, but to answer the question about how many people download us. Way to skirt that one, pal.
Oh, we never get off topic if it was on the show.
We usually have about, I would say, right around 100 a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50 to 100 a week.
Nice.
We used to be able to track it. Now it's hard now because, as you guys probably know, if you track your stuff, you put something out there, and in your sort of timeline of the world, you know, everybody's waiting for episode 52. And so you're counting how many episode 52 downloads there are, and you forget to look back sometimes at episode 5, and you go, wait, there are some people who just started this journey we've been on, and wow, have they got a long road ahead.
I know the last time I saw stats at my podcast, I was really excited about how many of the earlier episodes have been downloaded, so... Yeah, I don't know. I know in my district, nobody listens to the show. But I have to admit and confess that I don't promote it too hard in my district. Mm-hmm. Mainly because I talk trash about them constantly. I say horrible things about people.
You don't.
And I say their names, and I don't want them to track me down very much and tuck me around in front of my students because I'm small and I'm not that strong, but I do bring it up. I bring it up at staff development stuff, and whenever I get a chance to kind of you know, plug myself and gratuitously promote myself, I will. And we had a technology day, like half day, not very long ago, and I'm like, yeah, you guys should all come to this. And they're like, why? Like with Jeff, why do we want to hear you talk more?
Yeah.
Like, well, you don't. But other people do. So there.
Well, we have Krista in Montana, who's a listener. She says a distant listener. And Sheila had a great question. What resources do you use to remain current?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great question. I am going to put a huge plug in for Richard Byrne. He does the Free Tech for Teachers blog, and I'll drop a link in for that. He just won the Eddie Award from EduBlogs for the best teacher resource blog, and he totally deserves it. He posts, at probably 3 or 4 times a day sometimes, and his posts almost always have here. It's a educational link. Almost always free. He always includes a paragraph about how he sees it being used in the classroom. He has a huge following, and that's where I get a lot of the tech stuff from. I get it from other RSS feeds. I listen to you guys. I listen to the Wow Women of Web 2 podcast. Listen to a couple other ones, Geeked, which is out of Michigan. So there's quite a few. And I've picked up a new one called The Teacher's Life blog. I think it's called Teacher's Life blog podcast, and it's a teacher in Arizona who's I think he's a beginning teacher, 3 or 4 years, and he's done some amazing things with his class. I just enjoy listening to that. I get some tech stuff from there, but mostly I just enjoy listening to his perspective. But
I read back copies of Highlights for Children
The ones with the pages ripped out.
Because my favorite part is Goofus and Gallant, and no one ever wants those, so I can usually get a lot there. My number one reason, I use all the same stuff Jeff does. So double plug. I've become a Twitter convert in the past. When Jeff first started using it, I was like, this is the lamest thing I've ever seen. And now I'm like, I have to check my Twitter and tell my kids, I can't talk to you right now. I can't help you with your learning. I'm too busy reading 400 twits and tweets and whatnot. But a lot of good stuff comes across the pipe, especially if you if you subscribe to the right people. I get a lot from Mark Spar, who is one of our brethren.
He's in the chat room.
Yes.
Marco's posts a lot of good stuff.
And Jim Burke is in the chat room too. Yeah. He has amazing resources.
Yeah, he throws stuff out.
I'll throw some links up.
I mean, there's a lot of people. Lee down in
Lee Colbert.
Yep. Is that right? Yeah,
yep.
I think so.
She's
down in
Teach a Kid.
Yeah, Teach a Kid down in Florida. She posts great stuff often. Two of my primary responsibilities on the show are the media integration and the book talk. And my loving and gorgeous wife is my number one resource for the book talk, because she is a middle school librarian over in Jeff's district, over in 43, and she is amazing. Uh-huh. And she just constantly has good stuff. And if I'm hung up or I don't have an idea, she can give me 10 suggestions and away I go. So, you know, that's the primary stuff I use to quote unquote keep current. But with music wise and stuff, cause I tried to I've gotten really into music blogs, and started with a few that friends have recommended, because I'm trying to use the music that the kids are listening to to the most. So I go onto iTunes and check the top downloads. I check the VH1 top 20s and stuff like that. And then because I have a very diverse group of kids, I've got seniors and I've got freshmen, I have to keep up with the pop end of things, and then I got to keep up with the really indie, no one's ever heard of them before stuff, which is kind of cool because it takes me back to my college radio roots. And so that's how I keep up with what's hip.
Nice.
And,
nice. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I just looked because we have to be thinking of our Geek of the Week here pretty soon. Probably
the great
right
thing,
now, speaking of them all through.
The great thing is, I mean, it'd be great to graph, you know. I mean, we all just keep using what other people find. I mean, you know, whoever discovers that first, we probably could never find out, you know, but we all have different audiences and crossover audiences, but, you know, it just keeps feeding somebody that's never heard of that, you know, it's yeah. great. I mean, Twitter is one of my, you know, sources for sure. All right, so speaking of those catches, you were just saying Geek of the Week.
Yeah.
Well, we always let the guests go first, except for last week when we were rude.
Well, we had to because Alex
That's true.
Had,
That's right.
he had the lead in.
Yep.
Yes. So, but Jeff and Dan.
Did again this week too, but I held back.
All right.
Well, we each have one. And mine is awesome and actually can be educational. Whoa, what's going on?
Hang on. Let me shut the window.
So, Dan, what you're saying is yours is awesome and Jeff's is not?
Yes.
We're not at all competitive either.
I saw Jeff's and it is good.
But mine's awesome. But yours is awesome. Okay.
It really is. He sent me his and I went, what is this? And then an hour later I said, I can't stop using this.
Oh, good.
Well, that shouldn't have been the first one then.
Oh,
no, click probably shouldn't.
No. Don't click on it.
Yeah. Don't click on it yet. No, don't stop.
Yeah, everyone will be distracted. It's probably, here's the thing. You're talking about, like, yeah, I call it the week of the geek because I feel like I'm always, like, the last person to the party. And then, like, I walk in and go, guys, you got to hear this record. And everybody's like, oh, wow, it's the Police of Synchronicity. I never heard that before. But it's up there on the thing. It's playauditorium.com, and it is a game, but it's the sound-based game where you are trying to manipulate sound using these circles and shapes to manipulate this visual representation of sound to go through these feeds, and it's very difficult to describe using words.
Yeah.
But I found in working with my kids today using it that it's not just a great time suck. It is a really interesting problem-solving tool. And it really forces kids to think outside the box and to use a cliche, yeehaw, but to get them thinking in different ways and to interact with sound in a different way. And I found it really, really interesting, the interface and the tool. And I know it's out there on the internet, so other people have been talking about this thing. But someone posted it onto my favorite forum, which is the Comic Geek Speak forum. I'm a ridiculous comic book geek. And somebody on there posted it, and I got sucked right in. But I got thinking about it for my kids and how it's also a good learning tool. And a great kind of alternative to... something like that that's a real social activism thing, like freerice.org, which I love, but kids kind of can get kind of worn out of it after a while. This is another nice kind of learning, thinking, abstract, problem-solving tool type thing that they could do an alternative to. So there you go, playauditorium.com.
Very cool.
Kern says he's waiting for the iPhone version.
I don't know if there's that, but can you imagine playing that on an interactive whiteboard with a class? That'd be so much fun. This little play auditorium game.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So why don't you tell me about having an interactive whiteboard?
Yeah, I'll
telling you about having a chalkboard. And a stick.
Dan's Districts is now upgrading to Slate 1.5.
Anyway. We're late adopters.
Okay, well, I'll do my geek of the week next.
Today we discovered fire, by the way.
Oh, excellent. I'm glad. So glad. We'll send the wheel down to you from Rumford. I found this. I can't even remember exactly where I found this. It had to be someone on Twitter or on an RSS feed of something somewhere. But it's called Museum Box, and I dropped the link into the chat. And it's a little difficult to describe, but it's not quite as abstract as Dan's. But basically the idea is that you can use it sort of as a presentation tool to collect pictures, videos, links, documents, even upload documents. And it's this little kind of grid. It's based on, I'm printing off the guy's name so I wouldn't forget, a guy named Thomas Clarkson, who was an abolitionist, and he basically saw the types of things that some of the slaves being brought to America were able to make, and he collected samples of the arts that they would make and some of the textiles that they would make, and he carried them around in this compartmentalized box, and he would go around and give talks to people about how can people who have show this kind of creativity and intelligence be enslaved. And so he used that as a talking point for talking about the abolitionist movement. Hmm. And you can see some kind of sample museum boxes of his there. But what this allows you to do, you actually get to create your own sort of boxes. You get little spaces to put cubes, so they have six sides. And one cube might be something like, if you were doing something in science, you could say, well, vertebrates, for example, and you could put pictures of vertebrates, or you could record video, or you could put in links, or you could put in text, or you could put in a document, and it all rotates around this cube. It's kind of fun to play with, but it's definitely, I think, has some interesting implications. There's a teacher's section, too, so you know it's been at least thought about for educational purposes as well. So
nice.
Brings a whole new... you know, idea to thinking inside the box.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And you might anger students who don't want to be put inside of a box. But I think it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to tell you two guys that normally when it's Geek of the Week, people are flying back and forth in the chat room saying, oh, look at this and look at that. And it's kind of quiet in the chat room, so you can tell that they are really intrigued with these two links.
they're all about the Play Auditorium.
I was going to say, they haven't even got to the museum yet. That Play Auditorium's got it beat, I can tell you right now.
Well, I have one that they don't need to go to right now, but it is... the International Association for K-12 Online Learning, and they've just revamped their website, because when I went to it the other day, it was like, you know, we're not quite ready yet, but, and they had the date for their previous international conference, but they've put their new conference date down, which is November 15th, 2009 in Austin, Texas. So it's a virtual school symposium, and for all of this whole network who are, you know, so connected and so online, this is groundbreaking stuff, and I think all of us should be really paying attention about online teaching and learning. So that's my geek.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay. My geek of the week is the 100 best YouTube videos for education.
Oh, nice.
And it's really nicely organized by subject area. And now that being said, oops, oh, there it goes.
Okay.
That being said, I know that YouTube is blocked in a million zillion places, including my own school.
But not mine.
Not mine.
We may be writing on Slate, but we've got YouTube.
We only have it blocked because of bandwidth.
Yeah.
Bandwidth. But anyway, so there are two ways that for people that can't get YouTube in their district. And one of the things the kids in my school have found out, which is actually great, is that if you download or if you watch a YouTube video at home unblocked and you bring a computer in, if it's in the browser and you don't shut the browser, you can play it. It's in the browser. But then I also found on Richard's site, which, Jeff, you had talked about before, the free technology for teachers, I pulled a link so that people can capture YouTube videos so that you can use that 100 site. So this one that's coming in now is how to capture the YouTube videos to use in your classroom.
So. And I have another one, ikeepvid.com. It's a nice one to capture YouTube.
Okay, that's good to know. I just threw that in. Okay, you just did it. Okay, great. Thanks.
Bob, are you still with us?
Yes. Now, did someone have Zamzar? Didn't I see that in the...
I think I had that. Oh, that was another link, but...
Yeah, I think Kern just...
I think
that
Kern that's funny that Kern just put that in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's synchronicity.
Yeah. It is.
Well, Zamzar, Cheryl, you had that, right?
I did. I had that because I just saw this, I think on Twitter, that in Zamzar, they're so clever, they've put a converter for Microsoft 2007, those .docx things. So if you go to Zamzar, you can get the converter, save the document that you can't open, browse out to it on your desktop, and dump it into their website, and then you can convert your document. So I will put the link in for that as well. Thanks, Bob.
Kurt's reading our minds.
I know. All right, mine's not too exciting. We're probably ending on a fizzle, but
see if Kern knows what it is.
All right, Kern. Don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah, he's got to wait 30 seconds.
Yeah, he can read our minds, but he's slow. All right, this is confusing words. Great for students, great for any of us who have trouble between affect and effect. We're there.
I do.
And they have 3,210 words that are troublesome to readers. So you type in your confusing word, and then it'll tell you this is how you use it. One thing I think they should have is be able to browse all the words. And right now it looks mostly like you look at their top six, or you just have to type in your own words. But it'd be nice if you could browse and bring them up and say, students, go look at these, why they're confusing. But it's great. It's a quick way to, what is it? Affect or effect? You can just go there and type it in.
I just tell them to wait till sophomore year. They cover it then. It's a lot easier than like having a headache at the end of the day.
Oh, and a real quick trick that I found somewhere on an RSS feed, if you add the word kick before YouTube in the URL, there's like a parallel site that allows you to, it looks exactly like YouTube, it's probably also blocked, but it provides you with several file formats you can download that same YouTube video that you just found.
Is that kick or kiss?
Kick.
Oh, I've seen it as kiss.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I used kick today and it worked.
Wow.
Okay. I wonder if it works with any generic verb. That'd be interesting.
Speaking of confusing words.
You can't write in a main accent, though.
No.
It might run into a problem.
Oh, man. Well, this has been one of our most... how do I say this? laughable shows? No, that's not right.
Wow, great. Awesome. We're laughing.
No, I have laughed so much through the show. You can't tell because I've had to put my microphone down. I just didn't want to be guffawing into the mic. But you guys are very funny.
Are very funny.
Yeah, this has been very enjoyable.
No formal training.
This stuff comes naturally to me. I don't know what to tell you about that.
Yeah, well, we're trying to put it to good use and make a little extra coin on the side. We have started, in all seriousness, since Jeff and I started the show, we've also started an improv comedy troupe with us and some of our fellow actor friends here over in our way. It's called the Teacher's Lounge Mafia, and we had our first show a couple weeks ago.
No kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. This is all legit. I can't make stuff like this up. I've been directing improv.
But somebody did.
Yeah. I've been directing improv with high school kids for about 7-8 years now, and finally enough of my former students are around, and Jeff's around, and some of our other friends, and we just got together and started this improv comedy troupe, and we did one show, and it went pretty well, I think. We had 150 people between the two nights, and we're hoping to do another show somewhere near Valentine's Day. Fingers crossed. So, if anybody's up in the Western Maine wilderness looking for some entertainment, come that way. We'll keep it out on the YouTubes. Don't worry, we'll shoot out them internets. So
does it have a site, or are you podcasting these as well? Or
ironically enough, the two techie guys don't have a web presence for the group yet. But
all right, that's your weekend mission.
Yes. Well, actually, funny you've mentioned that, because blogger, here I come.
Oh, funny. Now, did you guys see?
We just plugged our show.
There we go.
Yeah. Did you guys see CBS smooth. News tonight and its whole thing about YouTube?
I turned it off before it got to that.
Well, it's probably online, but anyway, you should definitely take a look at that little clip about YouTube and how it's impacting the job market right now and how people are making money through YouTube. It's very interesting.
Awesome. I actually was just telling one of my students today, I teach a pop culture course, and their final is to create a piece of popular culture and try to disseminate it into the world and have it take a hold and actually become true pop culture and not just a project for class. And one of my students made an audiobook of a short story she wrote. And I go, oh, that's cool. So what are you going to do with it? She's like, oh, I'll put it on a CD, I'll hand it in. I'm like, yeah, but how is anybody going to hear it besides me? Oh, I don't know. So she and I brainstormed for a while, and by the time we were done, we were talking about how she could create a password protected file download somewhere. She could set up a PayPal account. She could advertise it through Facebook. And we got to the point where we've kind of figured she could probably make $25 off this project and pay for the CDs. So,
perfect. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. That is nice.
So, you know, help her pay for college.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh. Might get her half of the book.
All right. Yeah. Well, I see the clock. We've gone over a little, which is good because we started late. I don't think we have to pay extra tonight.
No.
Who's doing the outro? Alice?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, this has been Seedlings on, what is today? January 8th already, 2009. And we'd like to thank Dave and Jeff and EdTech Talk for hosting us. And our chat room, thank you for all the new folks that came up and everybody who came back. And to Jeff and Dan for coming from Wicked Decent Learning. This is Alice Barr and Kenny Bunkport, and I'll send it. How about if I send it, I don't know, up.
Mm-hmm. Up north.
Oh, is it us?
That's you.
No, we didn't leave it. We didn't leave it. We just thought it'd be really cool to be quiet.
Yeah. We're going to try that on for one.
Data, Jeff, be quiet. This is fascinating radio.
So we want to thank you for having us on the show.
Thank you. This has been fun. This has been a lot of fun for us, too. Absolutely. And congratulations on the success of your show, because if it wasn't for shows like yours, ours wouldn't exist. So.
No, really. I think I learned most of my podcast tips from Bob's early Bit by Bit episodes.
Oh, Jeff came in one day and said, okay, have you heard the Seedlings thing? Because they're doing this cool stuff, so we have to do it too.
Nice.
That's not even an exaggeration. We have three or four seminal podcasts that kind of each started us off from different directions, and you guys are one of the three, so rock on.
Nice. Yes, rock on.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
That means I say goodbye, Bob.
Yep.
And Bob, you say goodbye.
I will say goodbye, and you may hear my dog May in the background howling. I don't know. I'll turn up the mic.
May, oh May.
Now she's being camera mic shy. Oh. Yes. This is Bob down in South Berwick, and thanks for listening. And we're off next week, aren't we?
Yes, we are. So be sure that you stop by and listen to Lisa Parisi as she fills in the Thursday slot. Wait a second. Yes, next week. And the week we return, Melinda Miller, the podcasting principal. So be sure to be here as Melinda comes back from maternity leave and she's going to rock out with us.
Okay, over and out.
We're leaving the stream. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.